John chapter 21, and I'm going to ask you to stand together to honor the reading of God's Word. Miriam, can you turn these lights up a little brighter? Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He manifested Himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is the Word of God, and you may be seated. Thank you. So we began this passage of Scripture with this phrase, "after these things." And if we're not careful, we just kind of read by that and really don't give it any thought or any attention to what it may be saying to us. But after these things means after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which they have just come through. And so a big time, a big special occasion. So we come to this text after these things, meaning for us after our special weekend of Real Life Emmanuel. One of the great things about this phrase, even though it's small and if we're not careful we could completely miss it, is that it reminds us we don't live in the special times. We live in the normal routine of the everyday life. It's nice to have the special times, and we get those. It's nice to have a special weekend where we can gather as a church family and do some certain things. It's nice to have special times like family gatherings at holidays. It's nice to have the special times of a vacation and a break from the routine. But we don't live our lives there. We live our lives in the everyday ongoing routine of life. And we find the disciples returning to that after these things, after the special time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it is for us. So we continue with Jesus in the everyday life. And that's where we are. We continue with Jesus in the everyday life. We have spent 40 days praying for Emmanuel. 40 days of prayer for Emmanuel. Today is day 40 of those 40 days of prayer. My hope in prayer as a part of that is that it's helped develop a discipline and a routine for those of us who have engaged in the prayer that we'll pray for our church even more. But we're not always going to have a special time of 40 days of prayer for the church. We're not going to have one of those continually all the time, but do we learn something that enables us to pray and walk with Jesus in the everyday routine of life? At the beginning of all of these stories we find early on with Jesus and His first followers, we find that Jesus calls those first followers that He's going to make them fishers of men. Quite frankly, what we find Jesus doing with the disciples is discipling them, training them to be His followers. He has given them knowledge as they have overcome their ignorance. Now, those of you who were in Sunday school this morning, I hope you begin to hear some things that made some connection. Those of you who weren't, it's okay. You're not gonna don't go. Uh-oh, I wasn't there. I'm gonna miss out. So I'm gonna check out on the sermon. Come back. Hang in here with me. You'll understand. But he's given them to overcome knowledge, to overcome ignorance, because when they started following Jesus, they just didn't know a whole lot. All of us can relate to that in some regard, can't we? Because we started following Jesus, we didn't know a whole lot either. And maybe you're still in that early stage and you're still learning and all of those types of things. All of us have to learn stuff. All of us have to gain stuff. Dawn was a young lady who came to our church when I pastored in Green Bay. And we were doing a study on Sunday nights there. And we were in the same small group for that study. And at one point she was telling us, finally started relating to us, that when she first started coming to our church, she said when I would say where to turn in the Bible, she would look up at my Bible and try to judge where she needed to turn in her Bible. Catch was, she had a regular sized Bible, I had a thin line version. That just didn't compute very well. And she said, no, that wasn't helping. And then she found the table of contents and began to learn. But during that week, that past week of study in preparation for our Sunday night gathering, she said that it gave a passage of scripture. She picked it up and she turned immediately to it. She was gaining knowledge. She was a spiritual infant, young in her faith, and so she was gaining knowledge. That's what all of us need to do. Jesus is doing that with the disciples and helping them to gain knowledge to overcome their ignorance. Jesus has connected them. He has connected the disciples to Himself and to one another, which began to reveal the purpose for their life because He was sharing that with them. He was teaching them that. So Jesus is connecting them as they're growing and maturing in their faith and maturing in their ability to follow Him. He connects them to Himself and to a small group. Nowadays, we want to connect them to the life of the church. The church wasn't born yet. When Jesus was doing this with the disciples. But nowadays we want to connect people to the church and connect them to a small group, connect them to God's purpose. But that connection helps us move away past being self-centered and focused on me, focused on myself and my spiritual relationship, so that I'm growing beyond that, so that I begin to think about things the way Jesus would. We find that Jesus trains the disciples to minister to others by equipping them through teaching and through example. By teaching them what to do, by modeling it for them, and then beginning to involve them in ministry and give them assignments. And as they follow those assignments, and then at times, you don't find this word in the scriptures, I don't find it, but he basically debriefs the disciples. They talk about what they did and they learn from it, and perhaps there was even more of that went on than we actually get in the scriptures. But yet they're talking about that. So as they learn these assignments and they learn how to grow through them, and they are being engaged in ministry. And now Jesus is ready to release them to be the disciple makers He has trained them to be. He has involved them in ministry. He has taught them over and over, and He has given them examples and training. But now Jesus is about ready to depart. Now they may not get that quite yet, but we do, because we're reading the story after the fact. And so, but He's releasing them to be the disciple makers because He's taught them and He's prepared them even more so than they really understand. And sometimes all of us have to learn that and understand God has actually equipped us beyond what many times we even think He already has. The really cool thing is if you start reading through the book of Acts, and certainly even if you read the second chapter of the book of Acts, you realize it's worked. Jesus has done all of this with the disciples, and He has trained them, He has given them knowledge, He equips them, He trains them, He passes it on, He's sharing with them how that they can be disciple makers, and then gives them a commission that they're to go out and make disciples. And then, of course, very importantly, we cannot skip over that, is He sends the Holy Spirit to be the empowering one in their lives, and thus for us as well. And then as you read through the book of Acts, we see it working. We see an effective process that Jesus has put into place. We see that it happens and it carries out. But as we've read our text today, what is it that we learn from, what do we learn from our text from today, from about us, about Emmanuel becoming a disciple-making church, that we know a process that you really find in the life of Jesus about how do we make disciples so that people are growing, so that people come who are spiritually dead, come to a place where they have a faith connection with Jesus Christ, and they give their lives to Jesus, and then they begin growing as spiritual infants and spiritual children, spiritual young adults, to ultimately being spiritual parents who can be disciple makers and reproduce the process with others. What do we see some things for us from our text? What do we learn about that? Before I start ticking some of those off, let me say, I think we learned some things from this scene with Jesus and the disciples in this fishing food scene. They're fishing, and then there's food involved, in which tells you Baptists really do go all the way back to the early pages of the New Testament because there's food involved. Not the typical exegesis of a passage of Scripture, but looking at some things and then seeing some principles from them. And so approach it just a tad differently today. We are not effective on the mission without Jesus. If we're trying to do Jesus' work without Jesus, we'll fail. Now, you see the disciples have gone out to go fishing, and they don't catch anything all that long, which is really fun every time I see that, because these guys were professional fishermen. They knew what to do. It doesn't always work that way. As many of you know, I was gone for a few days this week and hanging out with a dear friend of mine, fellow senior pastor. Lots of ministry conversations and lots of fun, but and sharing with one another and praying for one another, as well as spend a little time on the Arkansas River fly fishing. Well, we won't keep score, but if we were, I lost. You know, because Don has spent lots of time fly fishing. I've spent very little time fly fishing. And Don caught a lot of fish, and I did not. And so I did catch something, but I didn't catch a lot. But anyway, that process is, and so it would have really been funny had it been the other way around. Now, Don would not have thought it was funny at all if I had caught a bunch and he caught one. He would have really kind of been insulted and harassed me about that. We've been friends since we were freshmen in college, so I know what he would have done. But I often laugh in the Scriptures that we have these guys that are professional fishermen, and they have a hard time catching fish until Jesus shows up. There's just something wonderful about that name from the lips of a child. And the more I see that, and the more I get that, I think that happened on purpose. That those guys who were supposed to know what they were doing couldn't do it without Jesus, because it reminds us, even if it's a very subtle reminder, it reminds us we cannot do our work without Jesus. We cannot follow the mission Jesus gives to us without Jesus. And without His work and His intervention and His involvement, it's just not going to happen. Now, we do see something really good here, though. This small group of disciples is hanging out together. There's seven of them. We know where one of them is. He's now dead. We don't know where the other four are. John doesn't tell us where they are in this story, but there's seven of them together. We know they weren't all fishermen. Now, maybe they had all fished some, but they weren't all fishermen. They weren't all professional fishermen. But even with that being the case, and Peter says, well, I'm going fishing, and everybody else says, well, I'm going to go with you. Maybe nobody wanted to be left on shore by themselves all night long. I don't know, but they all went together. That's the part that we need to see, is that they were together. They were hanging out together. You know, and the professional guys could tell the amateur guys, here, do this, this will help us. Evidently, there wasn't much to do that night because they didn't catch any fish. But yet, they were spending time together. And that's the part that we need to see about this is we're not effective on the mission without Jesus, and that's true. But we also need to see we need to be together as God's people. Now, not together to the exclusion and that we're going to lock everybody else from the world outside of us, because then we sure can't fulfill the mission. But we need a togetherness, a relationship with one another, and for us as a church family that realizes, hey, we're in this together. We're here to support one another. We know each other at increasingly deeper levels. And then we're strengthened as we engage the world around us. And we are strengthened as we seek to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to us. We need to understand that Jesus has the power to transform our work. When we will allow Jesus to empower us, we are effective for Him. But we need Jesus' empowering. If we think we can do Jesus' work ourselves, we are sadly mistaken. Any of you ever been there? Well, I know how to do that. I'll keep my hand up. I still remember like it was yesterday one time, and I made the statement to Valerie, well, I know how to do that. And over a period of time, Jesus taught me, you may know how to do that, but you can't do it without me. Jesus has the power to transform our work. This is kingdom work, and it's not about flesh and blood. And so we're unable to do the work apart from the Lord. We are not equipped to do it without the empowering of Jesus in our lives. We don't have the strength or the power or the authority or anything else needed apart from Jesus. So we've got to walk with Jesus and stay close to Jesus and beg Jesus to be at work in us so that He can work through us. It's easy to attempt the Lord's work in our own power and to do it ourselves and think, well, I can do this and this and this and leave Jesus out of it. And many times we may not even realize we're doing it. We may not even realize we're actually excluding Jesus from His work. And we just go on and nothing seems to happen really special and it just seems kind of humdrum. Well, maybe it was just a bad day and another bad day rolls into another one and we do not realize that we're trying to do Jesus' work, but we've excluded Jesus. How are we, Emmanuel Baptist Church, how are we doing the Lord's work? Are we attempting to do it on our own? Or are we allowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit to empower us to do His kingdom work? Jesus invites us to fellowship with Him. Now, quite honestly, isn't that just cool? Think about that. Jesus invites you and me on a daily basis to have fellowship with Him. He does it with the disciples. You know, and Jesus does it in a great way. Hear the words. Come and have breakfast. Wow! Kind of cool. Come and have breakfast. An invitation to join Him. And He has prepared the breakfast and willingly shares it with them. Which, incidentally, probably tells us Jesus knew how to cook. What a deal. But listen to what else Jesus does. He had told them to put where to put their nets down, and then, you know, then they get this haul of fish that's so big they're going to have a hard time getting it to shore. And matter of fact, somebody sat there and counted them, because there's 153, and they probably counted them because I'm going to guess it's early morning hours. It's a great time to go sell a new haul of fish. So they probably were going to sell them. That's probably a pretty good income for the day. But there's the seven disciples and Jesus on the shore. There's eight grown men to feed breakfast. And He says, hey, bring those fish you caught. And let's include some of them. We need more fish than what we have. So you're not just working just to be working. Jesus uses what we do Even though Jesus is the one who empowers us and Jesus is the one who equips us to be able to do it, then Jesus is going to use your participation and your involvement for His greater purposes. We see Jesus inviting them, hey, come and have breakfast, but we're going to need more fish. Bring some of those fish. Jesus is saying to you, look, I want to involve you. My desire is to include you. Isn't that cool? You think about that? How many of you tried to, especially you parents, how many of you have tried to, you're trying to do stuff at home and your child wants to help you? And quite honestly, it's just easier to do it without your child's help. And it'll take a lot less time. And it won't try your patience near as much. And so you just do it by yourself. I wonder how many times, and I can describe all of that because I've lived it. I wonder how many times Jesus just shaking his head because he's invited me into the process, but it's taking longer and it's more difficult because I'm involved. But he doesn't exclude me. I can exclude myself. But Jesus keeps including me. And Jesus wants to keep including you. Jesus invites us into fellowship with Him. And our fellowship with Him is needed for our work. Our fellowship with Him, to sit down with Him, with His book He has given to us, and to pray and to talk with Him. Oh, we need that. We need fellowship with Jesus. We need to hang out with Jesus. We need to share time with Jesus. Jesus is inviting us to have fellowship with Him. Think about that. Think about that. But here's this. We need to be exuberant about meeting with the Lord. I love Peter. Peter's one of my favorite biblical characters. He's impetuous. He's exuberant. But basically, Peter throws himself off the boat and heads to shore. They're about 100 yards out. And probably at this point, with all of those fish, he's figuring, I can swim faster than the boat's going to get there. Basically says he just throws himself into the water and he takes off. He's anxious to get to Jesus. Not because he could identify Jesus on his own. No, he needs the beloved disciple to say, it's the Lord. Now, what's really interesting, before he flings himself into the water, he puts some clothes on. Sometimes we're a little squeamish about some language that was quite frank in this day and time, and so we clean it up when we bring it from Greek into English. But he was stripped for work. It means what it says. And we quite frankly know that first century fishermen worked at their fishing without any clothes on. But he was going to see Jesus. So he put something on. We don't know exactly what they put on, but he put some clothes on before he got up there to see Jesus. I can almost see Peter, whatever it was he put it on, trying to throw it on as he's flinging himself off the boat into the water. Early morning, the water's probably cold anyway, and so now he's going to swim and swim quickly, and he gets there, and the others come along slowly in the boat with the fish. He was anxious to get to be with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Does that statement describe you? Can you say, I'm anxious every morning to get to be with Jesus? Would you think about that? And if the answer is not yes, would you ask the Lord what you need to do about that? Peter longed to be with Jesus, and he wanted to be with Jesus. We need to long to be with Jesus. We need to be ready to meet with the Lord, to encounter Him. This past week, I had the opportunity to talk to a couple of people. We're struggling with some devotional time, connecting with the Lord. Schedule is full. There's something to do all day long. Can any of you relate to that? But here's what I suggested to them. It made sense. I hope it makes sense to you. As we need to change something about our daily calendar, that we start by saying, this is where I'm going to meet with Jesus, and then plan the rest of the day. But perhaps too often how we approach the day is, well, where can I fit this in into everything else that I have to do? And if that's the approach you take, let me tell you what will happen. You won't. I know that in two ways. One, I know that by experience. And I know that by being a pastor who's had conversations with church members across the years and fellow disciples and those on a journey with Jesus. I knew a guy in college that saved his devotional time until in the evening. He said, I can't do that in the morning. I'm not awake enough. He is a rare person that can stop late in the day, close everything else out for a while, and there have his time. Maybe you are one of those. Bless you if you can do that. But are we anxious enough to meet with Jesus that we're willing to structure our entire day around when we're going to meet with Jesus? It's a thought to ponder. And quite frankly, from a fellow traveler with you, I wish I could say every day is scheduled around when I'm going to meet Jesus. Not every day is. But I also know if I don't try, and I don't start the day trying to think about, well, when am I going to meet with Jesus, it probably won't happen that day. But is there an exuberance in you about meeting with Jesus? I want you to remember this, two things. Only in relationship with Jesus will we make disciples. Jesus has called us to be disciple makers, and we're trying to make disciples of Jesus. How can we do that if we don't meet with Jesus? And we don't allow Jesus to show up and be involved in that, and we have a relationship with Jesus. But I think this is also important. Only in relationship with one another will we make disciples. Jesus didn't call us to go do this all by ourselves. First and foremost, He calls us into relationship with Himself to do this. But He also calls us to be a part of a church, where we together as a church are disciple-making people who will make disciples and fulfill the mission He has given to us. That's exciting. That's exciting. Jesus. Think about that. Jesus has invited us, called us into this journey with Him to be disciple makers. It also means we always have to be growing and continuing to mature as disciples, because we're never going to fully arrive here. But we get to be used by Jesus as we live in relationship with Him.